I'm greedy for more good things. Hang with me. How many know that what you're seeing in a way, and maybe they've been not really the beginning to them, but in a way it's a powerful beginning in their lives, and we've seen a powerful beginning. We've seen a powerful new thing today. But, you know, how many knows that we've all, or a lot of us, have experienced those powerful beginnings? And then the question becomes, well, then what happens down the road? What happens down the road? Everybody's excited when a baby's born. Everybody's excited when the baby's born. I heard, boy, is this on Ustream? I guess it is on Ustream. I heard Bill Cosby say one time, even when the baby messes his diaper the first time, everybody's excited. Oh, look at the little baby. Y'all heard that, right? About 2 years in, it ain't so exciting. It's not so fun. So I think God sometimes has to remind us how to keep going on the journey sometimes too. And maybe there's people in here that are at different parts of their journey. Maybe some just starting out, maybe some not started yet. And maybe some are along the way a little bit. And the diaper's starting to smell a little more. But God has a message for us today, and that is just this. Keep going. Keep going. Don't you quit. Don't you quit. Don't you quit. I think God has just a short little powerful teaching for us today that I think goes along with that. And maybe, Trevor, if you can give me a water, buddy. Oh, somebody's already got me one. Turn to the book of Joshua. We're going to be brief. Like I say, we could quit if we wanted to. Nothing wrong with that. But I'm greedy. Joshua 6. Now let's start Joshua 5. Joshua 5. 13. Joshua 5, 13. When you find it, you can stand for the reading of the word if you're able. This word's been burning in my heart. You know what? I believe with all my heart, as you find this, that there are people in this room on the edge of the greatest breakthrough of your life. I really believe that. I really believe there are people in here on the edge of the greatest breakthrough of your life, and some of you don't know it. Some of you don't know it. And my prayer is today that God show you today where He's taking you. Are you ready? If you're there, say amen. All right, if you're not, we're going. This bus is pulling out. Harless, the bus ain't parked, but we're pulling out. Here we go, 5:13. When Joshua was near the town of Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a sword in hand. Joshua went up to him and demanded, "Are you friend or foe?" "Neither one," he replied. "I am." Say, "I am."
"I am."
We couldn't say that at one time. "I am the commander of the Lord's army." At this, Joshua fell with his face to the ground in reverence. "I am at your command," Joshua said. "What do you want your servant to do?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did as he was told. Now, chapter 6. Now the gates of Jericho, say Jericho, were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out or in, but the Lord said to Joshua, "I have given you Jericho, its king, and all of its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the 7th day, you are to march around the town 7 times with the priests following, blowing the horns. When you hear the priest give one long blast on the ram's horns, have all the people," say all the people, "shout as loud as they can." Didn't say quietly, did it? It didn't say stand reverently. It said shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight into the town. So Joshua called together the priests and said, "Take up the ark of the Lord's covenant and assign 7 priests to walk in front of it, each carrying a ram's horn. And then he gave orders to the people, march around the town, and the armed men will lead the way in front of the ark of the Lord. And Joshua spoke to the people. The seven priests with the ram's horns started marching in the presence of the Lord, blowing the horns as they marched. And the ark of the Lord's covenant followed behind them. Some of the armed men marched in front of the priests with the horns, and some behind the ark with the priests continually blowing their horns. "Do not shout and do not even talk," Joshua commanded. "Not a single word from any of you until I tell you to shout. Then shout!" So the ark of the Lord was carried around the town that day. And then everyone returned to spend the night in the camp. Joshua got up early the next morning. The priests again carried the ark of the Lord. The seven priests with the ram's horns marched in front of the ark of the Lord, blowing their horns. Again, the armed men marched both in front of the priests with the horns and behind the ark of the Lord. All this time, the priests were blowing their horns. On the second day, they again marched around the town once again and returned to the camp. They followed this pattern for 6 days. You may be seated. This is a very brief teaching. Before we get there, I want to back up just a moment to tell you a little bit about Joshua and his situation. You know, we know about Joshua, we hear about Joshua, but you understand really what Joshua took over was not an ideal situation. We don't live in an ideal life. We don't live in a perfect world. Our situations aren't always ideal. They're not always perfect. In other words, Joshua really took over a really sinking corporation. He took over a really bad team. He took over a really hard situation. Think about it. Joshua was following in the footsteps of who? Moses. And Moses was, you know, respected and given reverence. And, you know, he's really thought of in high regards among the Jewish people. But understand this, Moses did take the people from Egypt. But they were struggling. The people had been delivered from Egypt, but they got to the edge of the promised land, an edge of their dream, an edge of their purpose. And then they stopped just short of their dream. How many believe in here, maybe in your life at some point you've been right up against your dream, right up against your purpose, and yet you stopped right on the edge of the river that you needed to cross? That was the children of Israel. That is the situation that Joshua came into. He came into a situation where these people had been wandering for 40 years trying to cross a river, and they couldn't get anywhere. They'd come 40 years wandering around trying to get somewhere they were supposed to go, but they just couldn't seem to get there. They kept going in circles and circles around their problems. Have you ever been there? Circling the same problem over and over. Coming up against the same problem over and over. And so close, but so far. And so that was Joshua. And God said, "Now, Joshua, these people that have been belly aching, that have complained against Moses, that said we should have just stayed back in slavery, that have wandered for 40 years, that had to die out to self, who had to actually die, all these people, Joshua, they're all yours. Have at it. It's yours. Take it. Now what are we going to do with it? Joshua, this is yours. This is your problem now, Joshua." We look at it as a good thing, right? Everybody wants the mic. Everybody wants the prestige. Everybody wants to be king for a day. Everybody wants a shoe deal. Everybody wants to be somebody. Everybody wants 15 minutes of fame. But do we understand the cost? Do we really want the headache? Do we really want the sleepless nights? Do we really want all this stuff? Or do we just want a pat on the back? What do we want? So Joshua, God said, "Joshua, now's your time. Joshua, you have destiny, and now is your time." I believe now's your time. Now's your time. We don't have tomorrow. We don't know what we got. We don't know how long we got. So why don't we say one day will be my time? Today is your time. Today is my time. So backing up in Joshua 1, I'm just going to read this. I'm going to read this because in a very difficult point in my life, the most difficult point in my life personally, this verse became my verse. Came out of verse so much, I'm going to rock your religion a little bit. Came the first tattoo I ever got. Ooh, tattoo. I won't talk about you, bro. I won't talk about you, bro. My apprentice, my rocking apprentice tattoo is up here. But on my arm, not fancy, not some big cool thing, at least on this arm, says Joshua 1:9. And it's a verse I've said many, many, many times, but God opened my eyes to something about this verse this week. God really opened my eyes to something about this verse this week. It's a verse that rolls off your tongue, and it's an encouraging verse. It's an uplifting verse, but God opened my eyes this week. So I'm going to back up and read out of Joshua 1. Joshua 1:1. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua's son of Nun, Moses' assistant. Joshua had been Moses' assistant. He had been his assistant for 40 years. See, that's the problem, man. We want everything now. We want everything yesterday. Oh, man, I want to get saved. I want to get discipled for 3 weeks, and then I want to get on the road. Joshua spent 40 years in the wilderness serving Moses before it was his time. We got to have a little patience, man. You know why we got to have patience? You know, there's a reason I'm still with this cat. Because I need to still be with this cat. Because he's still the one I need to be with and walking alongside. I never could understand everybody wanting to just run off. I definitely am not ready to run off. And I've been a lot of places. But I got a lot of growing yet to do. Not because God wants to punish us. Because he wants to make sure I'm ready. And he wants to make sure you're ready. He can't throw you out to the sharks and say, and then he's going to wait till you're ready. And in the meantime, you don't sit back and do nothing. You partner up with some other people and you start doing something. Because God has a plan for you now. So Joshua was Moses' assistant. We look at a few years of Joshua. We forget about the 40 years. Joshua, get me a drink of water. Joshua, get this. Joshua, get that. Joshua, watch and learn. Joshua, come watch this. So Moses' assistant, he said, Moses, my servant, this is God talking to Joshua, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River. You've wandered long enough. We've wandered long enough. Now it's time for some people to lead us across the river. It's time for some people to go onto some new ground, some new territory, to walk in some new places, some higher ground. You've walked in the same circles long enough. It's time to walk a new step, to walk a new walk. Across the Jordan River, into the land, there was another man, Joshua, Yeshua. Something powerful happened in that Jordan River about 1,400 and some odd years later when Jesus entered the Jordan and was baptized. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanese mountains in the north, and from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one, say no one. Nothing, say nothing. Say no thing. Say nobody. Say no depression. No drug, no problem, no insecurity, no jealousy, no depression. Nobody shall be able to stand against you as long as you shall live. You gotta get this. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Bob, we might get off track. We might leave the course. But I guarantee you one thing, young couple. I guarantee you one thing. He won't abandon you. He didn't bring you to this moment to let you down. You stay the course. You stay with Him, and He won't let you down. He won't abandon you. Joshua, Lost Creek, boy, girl, man and woman, be strong and courageous, for you are the one. You are the one. You have destiny. You are uniquely purposed. When you were formed in your mother's womb, you have unique purpose. You have destiny. I don't care where you come from. I don't care what your family life's like. I don't care what your history's like. You were born to be somebody. We are not destined to repeat the sins of our father's generation. We are a new generation. We are a Joshua generation. And we will go into the land. You are the one to lead these people to possess all, say all, the land I swore to their ancestors. Not a little bit. Not a little bit free. Not a little bit happy. Not I'm going to settle. Not I'm going to just get a little bit free. All the land. Every last piece of it. The whole promise. The whole thing. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instruction Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Now here's verse 9. Here's the one that Jenny remembers the time. You still remember the time? Sometimes we forget the time. Sometimes our problems get, you know, a little big, or we get a little busy, or ministry gets busy, or life gets busy, or family gets busy, or I got a headache, or I'm worried about this, or it's about me, or whatever the reason, we get too busy to forget where we once was. We'll keep preaching with you. Is that all right? Listen. You all, this is for you all too. This is for you all too. You got to listen to this. No. You got to listen to this. Don't you ever... The heartbreak you feel right now, God's going to make that better. But here's the key. Don't you forget that. Don't forget the desperation. Because you get busy a couple years down the road, and it just doesn't seem so bad back there. It wasn't so bad. Yeah, don't you forget how bad. Don't you forget what He's brought you from. She said, I ain't going back. She said, I ain't going back. She just said, I ain't going back. How about you, Lost Creek? Are you going back? Have some of you forgotten? Have some of you forgotten what God has brought you from? I'll be honest. Sometimes preacher man up here forgets. Sometimes preacher man gets a little high for his britches. A little too big for his britches. Is that all right? Forgets how broken I was. Maybe you do too. Maybe some of you forget what God brought you from. But you know what? Maybe some of you in it now. So here's 1:9. This is the verse that got me through But it's the verse that God showed me something new about this week. And then we're getting onto the wall. 1:9. This is my command. Say, my command. Be strong and courageous. I tell you what, use it up there. Read it with me. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord, your God, is with you wherever you go. Just keep that up there. And here's what I want you to see that I never saw before. I really haven't. I mean, I'm sure he has. I learned a long time ago. Don't ask if he's seen it because he's seen most of it. But I've never seen this before. Read that first part of that verse where it says, this is my command. Be strong and be courageous. Now hold right there. Hold right there. Here's what we miss. How many times do we pray, God, and I'm making fun of us. This is me talking. This is how I pray sometimes. So if anybody, you know, I'm making fun of me. God, give me strength. God, make me brave. You know what I'm praying? I'm praying for God to give me what He already gave me. This verse says simple, we'll call it, be strong. He doesn't say, pray that I make you strong. He doesn't say, maybe I'll just drop down and give you some strength. He doesn't say, oh, well at the wall and maybe some strength will come to you. He just says, you be strong. You know what that tells me? It's already in there. It comes with the package. It comes with it. So all we got to do is be it. You just got to be strong, Roy. I mean, sometimes I just wonder if Jesus couldn't be like, you know what? I came down here and I lived and I preached and I brought the gospel and I climbed on a tree and I died and I bled and I defeated death, hell, and the grave, and I got up and I went back to the Father and I sent you the Holy Spirit to give you power. Why aren't you strong? Why aren't you courageous? Just be strong. That's what He says. Just be courageous. Listen, God would not tell us to do something if it was not inside our capabilities. Would I tell my son, son, go get in my car and drive to Kingsport and pick up Regan? No, because it's not in his capabilities. Now, if I said, son, dad is tired. I've been to Lost Creek. I've been in prison. I'm on my recliner. We call my recliner Big Chocolate. I'm on my big recliner. Well, there's a reason behind that. That's the color. And when we bought it, it's a Lazy Boy Big Chocolate recliner. So it makes sense to me. Anyway, I digress. I might say I'm laying in my recliner, son, get me the remote. Give me a bottle of water. Because that is in his capability to do. If God tells you to do anything, I'm not saying it'll be easy. I'm not saying it'll go just like you think. But if he tells you to do something, you can take it to the bank. It is in your capability with his help. Now, before we get cocky, I think we do have to finish the verse. The condition, why are we strong and why are we courageous? For, because, in other words, God is with us. If God is with us, who can be against us? If God is with us, be strong. If God is with you, be brave. If God is with you, never back down. If God is with you, keep going forward. It doesn't matter what's in your past.
Joshua didn't have a lot of good stuff in his past. He came from a dysfunctional family of people, of people who were destined to die in the wilderness because they couldn't get into the promised land. You are not defined. I know a lot of people preach about a lot of things, and I'm not preaching against those things, but the blood of the cross defeats every curse. You are not limited or defined by the generation before you. You are not limited or defined. Joshua came from a losing team. But God said, you know what? You are a new generation. And you're going across, son. You be strong. You be courageous. Because I'm with you. So Joshua did something that they'd never done before. All those years, they'd been right up to the edge. And he took his people across the river. You just crossed the river. You just crossed the river. And that's a powerful point in time because that was soil that that nation had never walked on. I believe with all my heart you're going to be walking on land you've never walked on. I believe that. But here's the deal. Here's the rub. As soon as they get across the river, what's waiting? A mighty problem. A mighty fortress called Jericho. A mighty fortress called Jericho. And let me tell you something about this problem. It's not just any problem. It's the same problem that had defeated them before. See, that's the issue. This was not a new situation. This is a situation they had a history with. Sometimes the problem is we're facing problems we got a history with. And they beat us before and we're scared of them because of that. We keep losing to this problem. And so we're scared and we're limited. Because that problem we keep running up against it. It's the same problem. You know, they say a good football coach will keep running the same play till you stop it. I think that's what the devil does. He keeps running the same play till we stop it. If you're going to keep doing the same dumb stuff, or if I'm going to keep doing the same dumb stuff, he's just going to keep running that same play. Because you're going to keep running up against Jericho. And you're going to keep running away from it. Jericho was the first opponent they faced as they crossed the river. The first people they would have to fight. The first battle they would have to. They just crossed the river. Oh, can't we celebrate a little while? But right there across the river was a problem. See, that's the rub. That's what we don't teach people in church. We teach people come to an altar, say a little prayer, and then get up and go be a Christian. But how many knows when that back door opens? I'm just being real, I'm being honest. And you walk out there, there's Jericho, the same problem you've been running up against and running from your whole life. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? The same problem you've been running up against and fighting, the same problem been kicking your butt for a long time and is still standing. Still standing. I'm told I'm not a building guy like some of these, Harless Rick and some of these building guys. But I'm told this city was on an embankment. The embankment, the dirt embankment that was built up was 46 feet, I'm told. That's the starting point. Then I'm told the wall was 26 feet more high. And I'm told this solid wall was 6 feet thick. That means if I lay down, that's how thick that rascal is. That's a big wall. That's a big problem. Oh, preacher, you don't know my problem. You don't know how deep it is. You don't know my baggage. You don't know my past. You don't know what somebody did to me. You don't know how hurt I am. You don't know how vulnerable I am. You don't know what it's like. You don't know what it's like to have a needle in your arm. You don't know what it's like to have a drink that you can't put down. You don't know what it's like to cheat on your wife. You don't know what it's like to have your wife cheat on you. You don't know what all these things, but you don't know what I know. But I'll tell you this, he knows. And don't assume I don't know. Wall can be a big problem sometimes. And it can be a real problem sometimes. And sometimes it may seem like you're never going to get around it. And maybe I should just quit right here. But God tells Joshua, as we read in the scripture, Joshua, you're going to take that city. Joshua! That wall that these people have been butting up against is getting ready to come down. That wall that you keep struggling against, getting ready to come down. That thing that's been kicking your butt for a long time, getting ready to come down. Now here's what we would do. This is how we would probably handle it. Being honest, let's form a committee. Let's form a committee. Let's have 17 studies and get some engineers and get some military people. And let's come up with a real, real tactical, practical plan of how we might defeat this army. And there's nothing wrong with that. God gives us mind. I try to use my mind. Although I learned I got more effective when I learned how not to use it sometimes. But God gives them a plan that seems very counterintuitive. We're about done, and it's early for us. If somebody laugh, you must be new. It's halftime. Early bird special. Thank you. I will. God gives them a plan. But here's the problem. From a human logical standpoint, and I'm a student of logic, it doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, really, it doesn't. I mean, honestly, a lot of things that go on here to me, when I don't turn off my logical mind, I'll be straight with you. When I get too much in my logical mind, a lot of things that go on here really don't make sense. I mean, that's just, is that the truth? Is that the truth? I can't figure out half of it. Blow this, march around there. I don't know what to do sometimes. A lot of things God tells us to do doesn't make sense. I was talking to my wife about that. And this is a real powerful word. I really believe this. God uses conversation. I really question if I'm hearing from God, if the voice of God sounds like he's telling me to do the things that I want to do anyway. That's a red flag. I'm telling you, that's a red flag. You better really quit. I'm not saying it's impossible because all things are possible with God. I'm saying you better take a real big caution and a real big pause, and you really better make sure. Because in my lifetime, I'll tell you what I have learned walking with this old eagle, is that most of the time, the voice of God tells me to do the very opposite thing that I want to do. That's the point. That's how you submit your will to His will. And that's where people miss it when they say, well, it says I can ask for all things. If it's His will, if you submit your will to His will, if you learn to make it about His will, you can ask for anything and it'll be granted. But you've got to learn that it's His will. And here's what people do. Let's be straight. I've done it. We get a result we want. And it just sounds like God's telling us to do it. Right? That chick's hot, man. I believe that's God's will. Woo! I don't know. God never told me to date the ugly one. I don't know. Oh, how that works. Blessed God. Is that honest? Is that cool? Oh, the Mustang or the Corvette. Woo! God tells me to get that. It'll help my ministry. I'm not preaching against those things. I'm just saying you got to take caution if you hear the voice of God tell you to do the things you want from the flesh. Because it usually don't work that way. That's the point. That's the point. So if we teach a little bit, I mean, I know we're not jumping up and down as much right this second, but sometimes we got to be taught. We've got to learn that God's way is not our way. And sometimes He's going to ask us to do hard things. Sometimes He's going to ask us to do things that are inconvenient. Sometimes He's going to ask us to do things that are nonsensical or illogical by our earthly
we're so smart standards. I mean, come on, we can't even balance a checkbook half the time. We think we're so smart. We can't get along with our neighbors, and we think we're so smart. Sometimes we just got to learn to put it down and just believe that the hands that hung the universe might be a little smarter than we are. So he gives them a nonsensical by our human logic plan. Just get up every day, Joshua, and you take those people and you march around that wall one time every day for 6 days. Now, that's a city, so this is not, we make it look like the size of this church. It wasn't that. It's a city. Dad, I've done it before, and Dad's done it. I don't have any notes today. So, I didn't have the exact dimensions of Jericho. Like, we really know. We have an idea based on archaeological studies, but we don't know exactly. But it was a city. It was a big city. So it was a good little walk. But I want you to think about this. Joshua's the new man on the block. He's the new leader. Moses, the one they had followed for 40 years, wandering around, not getting anywhere, had just had him through the wilderness, and a whole generation had died. They had all died. And now Joshua says, all right, people, I'm the new sheriff. And God says, let's walk around this city. Why? We did this in a business meeting in a church, which we don't have too many, thank God. The one person would raise their hand. Why? Why? Get on the phone afterward. Get on Facebook afterward. These people are nuts. What are they doing? We need a new pastor. He's crazy. And his boy's mean. One's crazy and one's mean. We're beat either way. One yells all the time. One's got a big vein that bulges out. And one's crazy. One gets us to march around stuff. I mean, honestly, I'm going to brag on him. That this plan that Joshua, that God gave Joshua, don't that sound like a pastor or our plan? He's blushing. Voice of God always sounds that way. So they march around the city. One day marches. They what march? Okay, Joshua, what'd that accomplish? Now you get up day two. Here's where I'm going. Don't get lost in the humor. Humor's okay, but don't get lost in it. Understand this. Sometimes our life seems like we're just marching in circles. Sometimes our life seems like we're marching in circles. And we're trying to hear the voice of God, and we're really trying to do what's right. And we're really trying to get past this problem. I don't believe you'd be here today, no matter why you're here today. No matter if you're here just because somebody asked you, or you're curious, or whatever it is. I don't believe you'd be here today if you didn't at least want more for your life. I want more for my life. I'm not satisfied. But sometimes it seems like, even though we want more for our life, we just march around our problem, the same problem. And really, we don't see a lot of cracks in the wall. So day two comes, and they march around again. But here's what I want you to pay attention to. They still didn't see any cracks in the wall. They had to get up day three. And they had to march all the way around that city. This plan that makes no sense. This problem that has kicked our butt for years. And we march around again, but I still don't see any cracks. You see, that's what beats a lot of us. We quit because we don't see cracks. We want an instant fix. We want to immediately see some results. And maybe the first day or the second day, we don't have to see the whole thing fall. But surely can't we see some cracks? God, can't you give me a little hope? Can't you let one pebble fall? Give me a little hope. Can I see some little hope that maybe this wall will fall? Just one crack, God, is all I'm asking for. But guess what? They saw no cracks. Day four came. You know, in their mind, were some of them tired? It wasn't just 4 days. It was 40 years plus 4 days. Were some of them tired of walking? Are some of us tired of circling the same problems?
Do some of us get tired of walking in circles without seeing one little crack in that problem? So day four, when it was time to get out of bed, I wonder how many people in churches all the way across this country on Sunday morning stayed out late and watched that crummy fight last night. Good fellowship, sorry fight. But I wonder how many people stayed out late last night, or maybe they didn't. But they got up this morning and they just rolled over in bed and said, you know what? I'm tired of circling the same problem. And just rolled over. I'm not beating people up. I'm just saying we all get a little tired. And how tempting it would have been to say, God, I haven't seen any progress in this situation. I'm tired of praying for that boy. I see no progress. I don't see a single crack. Thank God they didn't stop for 38 years praying for a boy who never saw a single crack. Tired of praying for that husband. He's mean and I don't see any progress. I come to church and I'm tired of coming to church. I see no progress. I'm tired of praying that I can stop taking these pills. There's no progress. Feels like I'm just circling around Jericho. And no cracks. So day four, they had a decision. Do we get up or do we quit? You've got a decision. I have a decision every single day, Steve. Not just on a Sunday morning in the church service, but on a Wednesday night. I don't mean just in church on a Monday night, a Monday morning. Kind word versus a mean word. I have a choice. And you have a choice. They walked around the wall again. Not a single crack, does my Bible say, showed up. They go to bed. Day five comes. Are you tired of walking? Got to get up again? I got to walk around this wall again. And they walk all the way around the wall. Not a single crack. Day six. I wonder how many of us in this world, and I can tell you, I've seen a lot, just to be honest with you. How many quit walking on day one? That's the quick one. They come one Sunday and they're gone. Some quit on day two. Some quit on day three, kind of middle of the road kind of guys. They keep it going for a little while. No cracks. They get discouraged. It gets tough. And some make it to day four. But I don't see sunshine. I don't see hope. And they quit. And some make it to day five. And they start dropping. God, I just needed a crack and you didn't give it to me. Blame God. But you know what's really sad as we're getting to the end? I wonder how many quit on day six. Don't you quit on day six. Don't you quit on days. I don't care if you've seen a crack or not. Sometimes in the ways of God, we don't see the crack. Sometimes we don't see a single thing till the whole thing falls down. Our Bible doesn't tell us one way or the other. But I wonder if any on day seven, something about seven, You know what? Today just might be your day 7. I wonder how many on day 7, Dale, rolled over, put the pillow over their head, said, "I'm tired of walking, God. No cracks." But some of them got up and they marched around that city. My Bible says, now we got to go 7 times. So they've already done 6 days. They've already done 40 years of walking. They've already marched for 6 days and they've not seen a single crack. And now, Joshua, you're saying, you're sure God wants us to walk 7 more times around this big old city? And so they started walking anyway. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. This is the most important day of your life. It's more important than anything you're using to distract yourself right now. They started walking 1 lap, 2 laps, 3 laps, 4 laps, 5 laps. I wonder on that journey, how many wanted to quit? I wonder how many in here, if we're honest with ourselves, been wanting to quit. Let's just make it personal. Some of y'all still think I'm talking about 3,451 years ago. I am, but I'm talking about now. How many, if we're honest, have felt like quit? Well, that's good. I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but that's good that you're done. I'll raise my hand. Y'all convicted me. You convicted me. You convicted the old preacher. How many have felt like quitting? Sometimes. Because we don't see the progress we want quick enough in our Jericho. The problem that keeps kicking our butt, the problem we keep coming up against and coming up against every time we cross the river, every time we try to get a fresh start, every time we try to go somewhere, every time we try to charge our destiny, we keep hitting Jericho and we don't see any progress. And sometimes we just get tired of walking. Sometimes we get tired. And unfortunately, some people quit. And I wonder if any, I don't know, maybe not, doesn't say. But if I'm just thinking about nowadays, you know, I wonder how many got all the way to that 6th lap. I wonder how many are getting all the way to that 6th lap. This close to the breakthrough you've been wanting. Last lap. I've seen ball players do it. I've seen athletes do it. This close. Stop walking and walk back across the river to the wilderness. Never going to beat it because I didn't see any cracks. Friend, day 7. It's all going to change. Somebody come pray right here. Don't stop. Just somebody come quietly pray right here. There's more stuff getting ready to happen. Oh, heaven. Now here's where we miss it. Listen, this is a miracle, but listen, here's where we miss it. People will see one person's miracle, and God is really working with them and ready to do something powerful in life, and that's like a, whoo, I'm off the hook. You ain't off the hook. Because I'm ready to see walls fall down. Walking's got its place. Larry, I call him the walking man. But God even gave Larry a car. Sometimes it's time for the walls to come down. I believe walls are getting ready to come down. They got to that 7th lap. And the 7th time around, the priests sounded a long blast on their horns. And Joshua commanded the people, shout! Shout! Sometimes you've got to find your voice. It was God that brought down the walls, but he commanded them to shout at them. Sometimes you got to get that inner strength. You know about that in the gym. You got to get that inner strength. We teach these kids. We teach them to find their shout. We teach them to understand that they're powerful beyond belief, that the God in them wants them to be strong and courageous and not be timid and put it all inside and humped up, but to let out a shout. You have a shout in you. You have strength in you. You have courage in you. You have God in you. Listen to this verse. Listen, and we're done. Shout, for the Lord has given you the town. Shout, for the Lord has given you the problem. Shout, for the Lord has given you these walls. And for eons those walls had stood, mighty walls, 6 feet long, 26 feet high. They had stood for 40 years as they ran and wandered. They stood for 6 days. They stood for 6 more laps. They stood. But on that 7th lap, when the horn sounded and the people gave a shout, the walls came tumbling down, down, down. I see walls coming down. I see a 7th-day generation. I see a people who are marching on the 7th day, and I see problems coming down. And that city that had them held, that had scared them, that had kicked their butt for years, that city became ruined and was ransacked, and not a single piece remained. God don't want to give you partial victory. He wants every wall to come down, and He wants you to take it all back. Everything that old devil stole from you, He says, go in there and tear it all up. These walls are coming down. Every head bowed. Thank you for being patient with me. Thank you for being patient with me. We've already had miracles. We've already had miracles. Oh, but I told you I'm a greedy man. Oh, maybe some of you are on day one and you're frustrated or discouraged. Maybe some of you are on day 4 or 5 and you're getting tired of walking. Maybe some of you are on day 6. And you're this close to your miracle. If you're in here and you're honest and nobody's looking around and you say, preacher, I understand where you're coming from. I feel like I'm circling problems. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand with me. Nobody's looking. I see your hands all over. Raise them up high. Raise them up high. Say, preacher, I get frustrated. And sometimes I don't see the crumbling of the walls, and I don't see rocks falling, and I don't see cracks. And that frustrates me. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I want you to raise your hand. Let's be honest. I see you. Let's be honest. I'm going to be straight with you. That's me sometimes. The preacher, yeah, that's me sometimes. I get frustrated when I don't see things happen in my time quick enough. I'm that way. I'm no better than you. Here's what I'm going to pray in a second. I'm going to ask that you come. You say, well, what's the point of that? Let me explain. We can't question God. God just says, keep marching. But I want you to march here in a second. Some already are. That's fine. I want you to march to this altar. And I just want you to pray. I want you to, and we're going to pray together. Here's what we're going to pray. We're praying that if you're on day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6, for you to be strong and you to be courageous and you to keep walking. Because day 7's coming, friend. Your day 7 is coming. Your day 7's coming. And I'm crazy enough to believe, and I'm crazy enough to pray, that for some of you, day 7 is today. And some of you, day 7's today. And we may give a shout in a minute, and we may see a lot of walls falling down. I'm crazy enough to believe that. So here's what I want you to do. I want everybody to keep your heads bowed, and I want you to stand. And I want to keep that, yeah, that's beautiful. I want you to keep it like that level right now. And I want people, you know what? As you circle the walls, just keep marching. People are just coming right now. Just keep marching. Keep your head bowed. I want everybody to stand, but I want you to keep your head in reverent position. I don't want you looking around. If somebody's in your way, say, excuse me. And I want you just to start moving up this way. Just start moving up this way. I can count if you want to. And we get in the habit of that. I can count. One, two, three. If that makes it better. But just come on. Just start coming around this altar. Keep marching. Don't you quit walking. Don't you quit walking. You say, preacher, I don't see the cracks. I don't see the cracks. I'm telling you, God has said it's going to fall. But you got to keep marching. Right now, I want people whose hands were raised. There were more of you. Come on, just start coming around this altar. I need somebody right there. I need somebody right there. People, on, keep on. Come on, come on, come on. People all around this altar. You just keep coming. You keep marching. We're not going to quit. We're not going to quit till every wall falls down. Every addiction falls down. Every depression falls down. Every jealousy falls down. Every marital problem falls down. Every insecurity falls down. Oh, everything in your life that keeps you from your purpose, we're going to pray it falls down. Keep pushing. Keep walking. Keep walking to this altar. You keep walking. Don't you stop. Don't you stop. Don't you stop. Don't you stop. Keep walking. Keep walking. Keep walking. You know, I know some people don't know. They say, well, I don't understand why we come to the front. I'm going to tell you why. Because we're going to pray together. There's powerful things that happen when people agree in prayer. We're going to come together and we're going to pray. And we're going to start to enter into relationship and communion with the Father. And we're going to get instructions from the Father together. And then we're going to get to know each other a little bit and start working on this thing together. Start walking on this journey together. So you don't have to understand everything to know if God's tugging at your heart and saying, you know what? I know that there's problems in your life that seem big. And it doesn't seem like they're going away. Then today's your day, friend. You got to trust Him. It doesn't have to make sense. You just got to trust Him. And you got to say, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to walk to the front and I'm going to see what happens. Come on, right now, just keep walking. Keep walking.